God and believe God to build us up on our most holy faith. Amen. And so, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to St. Mark 11, and let's go to verse 20. And the Bible says that in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away. Now, several days before, they had come by this same place, and the Lord saw a fig tree, and the fig tree was not giving out any fruit. And so the Lord cursed that fig tree to die because it wasn't giving any fruit out. Now, we can make analogies of these things to the body of Christ. We're going to go on and read some more in a minute, but I wanted to approach this from just a little different angle than I've heard preached before. And it's this: the fig tree was barren. It was alive, but it was barren. It wasn't producing. And so in the body of Christ today, there's so many Christians that are not producing. And we can say not producing by sharing their faith, by talking about Jesus, by that sort of a production. But the other production that we could talk about would be that fruit be in their life. The fruit showing forth to demonstrate to the world that we are Christians. Now you can find, we're not going to go to it, but you could find the fruits of the Holy Spirit listed over in Galatians. And I'm going to tell you, Christians used to have a lot of fruit. You know, if something happened, you could expect a phone call from not one but many to share in your tragedy. Today, not so much. If a death came in the family, everybody cooked a covered dish and they came over to the house and they brought a covered dish. The family didn't have to worry about those things. If something happened, the body would come and wait on the widow or the mother or whatever it is. So that, because you're devastated when things happen and you can't think about these things. But today, it isn't necessarily so. I was a charismatic believer, a young one, when my father died. And my brother was a Baptist minister from Savannah. And not one charismatic person came to the house and brought one thing, nothing. The Baptist church down the street from where we lived, they brought so much food it took weeks to eat it, because they are trained to do things like that and they know the importance of that. And so I think that it's time for the body of Christ to get back and talk about important things and train the people to be Christians. Some of them don't know their faith. They've never even heard it. With some of the messages that are coming forth, it's not any of the Christian faith that I've ever learned. So we need to be diligent to seek the Lord in this hour and ask the Lord to give us good Christian character. And what does Christian character mean? Amen. And so it's more than doing what you think is right. It's doing what the Word tells you to do. Amen. And so this fig tree, Peter noticed that this fig tree had totally died within a couple of days from its roots. It died. And it died at the voice of the Lord speaking to it. You see, the Lord looked at it this way. If you're not producing any fruit, what good are you? Why should you take up space, take up the rain, take up the angels taking care of you? Have you ever thought that they might be taking care of some of these things? They may well be. But the whole point is, it was a hopeless, useless tree. So Jesus was displaying to them that the fact that it was unproductive, it was worthless anyway, so it may well die. But also, he was teaching them about faith. And so in verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." So in these scriptures, Jesus is giving us a clear picture of his divine dominion over nature, but it's his dominion that comes when he speaks. Now, the interesting part about it is, if we have faith in God, if we believe Jesus is who he says that he is, we can do the same things he does, exactly the same things that he did. And he called us for the purpose of being a new breed of people on the earth, a breed of people that had dominion restored to them that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. That dominion has been restored to the believer, and it's a dominion of speaking power. When you speak the word of God, when you speak the name of Jesus, all things are possible to you too. So this is the way he describes that. In verse 23, he says, "For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So you see, the way Jesus taught his people, he worked a supernatural power, and then in turn, he turned to him and said, "Now you do it." He did it just like we teach little babies. We say, "Da, da." And finally the little baby will say, "Da." And we'll say, "Oh, look, he did it." And you're just overjoyed. And every little step that the little baby takes, you have taught that baby to do that thing. And so that's one of the reasons why when children grow up, their parents keep looking at them to see, where is the fruit? Where is the fruit that I put into them? Because we have imparted into our children either good things or bad things. And hopefully, if you're a Christian, you are striving to put good things into that child, right? And so you're looking. Well, you see, Jesus is looking for the fruit in our lives too. He's looking to see, are they learning? Because see, if you're learning, then you can begin to plow through things that looked hopeless to you until you begin to speak to it. in Jesus' name. And so he said to them, you can say to the mountain. What is a mountain? A mountain in the Word of God is really a kingdom. And so you can say to the kingdom of the devil, is what he's saying here. You can speak to the mountain that the devil has placed in front of you that seems like you just cannot overcome it, that you've done, you've tried, you've said, you've prayed, you've gone to others to pray, you have done everything, and the mountain has not moved. Well, you see, Jesus shows this mountain as a very simple thing to move. It's just that you have to know in your heart that you can move it. Because he wants you to be successful in this life. He wants you to have the nice things in this life. He wants you to have a good life, a good marriage, good children, a good job. Everything that your heart desires are things that he has placed in your heart. That is your promised land. And so those desires, I know that we think them up, but Jesus has placed them there. And he says, okay, now you go conquer them. Just like he did with those people that were in the wilderness, he gave them the land. It was theirs. But they never could get up enough faith to go forth and conquer it. And in the end, there was only two people that had the faith to conquer the land. And that was Joshua and Caleb. And so, who got to go into the land? Those two. He had to create a whole new generation for them to go to. The old generation continued to just waver around in their doubt and unbelief and their self-will and their criticisms and their living beneath their inheritance to the point that they had no inheritance to go after. And so we as Christians need to take these things that we see in the Old Testament are placed in the Word of God to teach us things. Now, I've noticed that a lot of Christian pastors and even some of the evangelists, they just keep the people in the Old Testament all the time telling them these little stories. And the little stories are good, but they must apply to your life. And you cannot apply the Old Testament stories to your life unless you come on over into the New Testament and learn for yourself who Jesus Christ is. Because he is the giver of your inheritance after you receive him. Amen? And so he said this mountain. The mountain is your finances. Also, it's your job. Every little thing, every little aspect of your life, God is interested in. So wherever it is not going well for you, in your prayer, you have to rise up and command it to turn around in the name of Jesus, to straighten out in the name of Jesus, to come forth as you're commanding it to come forth. Richard Vineyard, an old friend of mine, used to say, that's our commanding power. You have commanding power as a Christian. Recently, not too very long ago, there was a book put out by a man called, I don't remember who wrote it, but he wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. You've all heard of it. And when you go into the mountain, there's only one little tiny paragraph about Jabez, and he's just asking the Lord to increase his tent. Well, they made a whole doctrine over that book, and I mean, everybody was praying the prayer of Jabez. But you know, truthfully, Jabez is not going to get it from you or for you. It's Jesus. Why can't we take the Lord's Prayer and make a whole doctrine on it? Maybe we'll get something out of that. Amen? Because he's God. Jabez was just a man that called out to God for one thing. I tell you that the body of Christ is so in so much confusion in many instances, and they are living way beneath their inheritance. I told somebody the other day that if the preachers do not stop preaching about things and money and getting and giving and self, what I did, where I went, how I did it, I'm going to tell you, we are going to see a crash in this country that will shake Wall Street, because you see, people cannot survive off of that. These preachers are not going to be able to entertain them much longer with the things that are happening in the world and on our land. And when they get bored, they just drop away from church. And once they have known Jesus and they drop away, it's very difficult to call them back. I told this person, I said, you know, the common market, hardly anybody goes to church. And over in England, the last time I checked, and it's been some years ago, there were only 2.5% attending church. And there's probably less now. You see, a church is a place where Jesus comes to meet us. He puts his candlestick there so that the anointing will flow forth while we're in church. The anointing of who he is and who you are, so that you can make heaven. That's all a church is. It's also a teaching medium so that you can teach the people the word, not about you, not about your life. It's not about you, you see. It's about him. And unless he's the center of it, why don't you just fold it up and go home? Preachers are falling in serious sin all over the world. There are thousands of them leaving their pulpits as I speak to you today. Because, you see, who can stay alive in a dead place? And when you die, the devil will draw you out, put you back into the world, and you'll be a sinner once again, apart from your Christ. So the mountain will move anything, anything that you have the faith for it to move. Remember, verse 22 said, had faith in God. We're not talking about your faith. We're not talking about all of the faith that you can conjure up. We're talking about you beginning to have faith in God that he can do what he said he was going to do, and above all that you can even think of. And in these scriptures, sometimes you have to speak the name of Jesus many times to see it come to pass, to see the mountain move. Well, is that God's fault? No, it's the level of your faith. That's where you are. And when you finally see the mountain move, you shout a victory and say, God is real, it worked. But if your faith was moving in high levels, It probably would have worked the first time you spoke to the mountain. But speaking to the mountain, every situation that goes on in your life, speaking to the mountain, as you begin to see the mountains move, little mountains in the beginning and big mountains later, you will react spiritually to every single thing that goes on in your life instead of moaning and groaning and griping like those people in the wilderness did. You would see that God has the answers. God always had the answers when they were in the wilderness. They just trusted in their minds and in their hearts and in their own ways and in what they thought. Then they confessed what they thought with their mind, with their mouth, with griping and complaining until they griped themselves right into the grave. And they never made their inheritance. So we can do these same things if we let the devil do it. And if we don't react spiritually instead of reacting in the flesh. And then Jesus went on there and said, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea." And so when you speak to the mountain, he's saying this mountain is going to move and you can move it with your words, just as I killed that fig tree with my words. You can move this mountain with your words and it will move. It has to obey your words. We call that your dominion power. So every obstacle in your life can be removed through faith. Amen? And then he said, and shall not doubt in his heart. You see, there's the obstacle that keeps the mountains in place, is the doubt in your heart. Now, how do we get faith? We get faith through reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. You can't get faith when the preacher's up there telling you about going to toy stores and buying toys for his kids. You can't get faith in your heart when somebody's teaching you the prayer of Jabez. There's no faith in that stuff, none at all. You can't get faith in your heart when someone's preaching to you and telling you about the little circumstances that goes on in their lives concerning themselves, their husband, their kids, their ministry, and whatever. Just because they're successful doesn't mean that you're going to be successful following them. The Bible says that Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Jesus." And Jesus would not allow anyone to preach that sort of stuff if they were following him, because he is hunting for souls. He's after people's hearts, and he's ready to find preachers that will stand up and preach the Word of God. Go back to the basics. That's what we have to do in order for Jesus to move on the scene and change the mountain and cast it in the sea for us. Amen? And then the next element of that is, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now, believing these things are not necessarily believing. This is not talking about what God said. This is talking about what you just said. Be thou cast into the sea. Be thou removed, O mountain. He's talking about your words. If you shall believe that those things which you say, they will come to pass. That's what he's telling you here. They will happen for you. You got a big test? Pray. Somebody called me not long ago, and they had they needed to pass a test, and they had failed it several times. And I prayed with them over the phone, and I said, "Let's believe God." And I asked God to inspire this person's mind. This person ended up missing two questions. Another person had to take a test on spot. They didn't call me, but they were coming to this church and they knew the principles that we teach. And they said, "Oh, Jesus, please help me with this test. I haven't studied for it. I don't know the first thing about it." Guess what? They passed it with flying colors. Because Jesus is inside your heart. He knows things. Now, he's not going to bless you if you slovenly just sit around and think he's going to take all your tests to you. You've got to put your hand to the plow, okay? Just thought I'd add that so that you won't. But when you're in desperate need, he'll come through for you every time. And you believe these things in your heart, and they shall come to pass. And then Jesus says, he shall have whatsoever things he saith. So you can have it. It belongs to you. You can have it. And your faith is honored here by Jesus because you are fighting the spiritual warfare. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." So Jesus is in the business of releasing his promises to his believers, their spiritual desires to them. He's also in the business of answering those prayers. You see, it's more than just confession. It's more than just ritualistically confessing the word. It's taking the word, it's mixing it in your heart, asking the Lord to give you faith for it, mixing the faith in God in your heart, believing that all things are possible for those that believe in God. Everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. Speak to that mountain. Speak to it, and you'll begin to see things happen. Earthquakes will begin to happen in your life, and the devils will scatter because your God loves you. Amen. Are you connected with him today? You know, you can be connected to God. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and come and live in your heart. Be your personal Savior. And you know, go to a church that's got Jesus Christ at its center, and you'll begin to learn your faith. And every single day, read the Word of God for yourself. And God will teach you how to remove these mountains just for your own self. In Jesus' name, amen.